I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hi, my name's Hannah, and I'm here at Me, Her, and Everything Else podcast. Hey guys, what's up? It's your girl Stephanie Coker here. And of course, it's another episode of Me, Her, and Everything Else. First of all, I want to apologize. I know so many of you were waiting for that episode to drop on Wednesday, but it dropped on Friday. So please, please, please check it out. And you know, life stuff happens sometimes. So that's what caused the delay. But no more delays, I promise. Today's episode is going to be super, super interesting. I'm here with one of my friends. She's already laughing because she doesn't usually get to see me in this way. Her name is Hannah Olatunji, but do you know what? Your name's actually Busayo.
Are you all right?
No, I'm just saying because I only found out this information the other day, but this is how beautiful she is. So she's just like, my name's Hannah Olatunji. I'm from Ibadan. Where's it? Ibadan.
It's Ibadan.
It's Ibadan.
And I say it correctly now. Ibadan.
That's still wrong.
Ibadan. Ibadan. No, I can't do it. Ibadan. See, I mean, most people get what I'm saying when I'm saying it. Ibadan.
Who are the people that get it, Tana?
People that I say it to. People that I say it to. No, Ibadan. 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 Am I saying it right?
No. Wait, which one is she saying?
I didn't say it right.
Say it right.
Ibadan.
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 Okay, why, yeah, anyway, this is why you're on this episode. This episode is all about I just got back, right? But you didn't just get back because you never lived here, so you kind of just got here.
Yeah,
in a sense.
I've been here for a few years.
But you never lived in Nigeria prior to that, right? So first of all, why the heck did you move back?
Everyone always asks that. I think at the time, right? So I had a friend here. So you know Lola was here already.
Yeah, I was also your friend, Hannah.
Yeah, I mean, you...
I went to school with you, Hannah. I mean, you're a year above me, but I still... I used to see you in the girls... No, but in the girls' toilets. I would like to... Okay, I was an acquaintance. Continue. It's fine.
No, you're obviously my friend as well. But
now...
At the time, right? So Lola just moved back.
Yeah.
And... I think at that time I hadn't even been to Nigeria. Maybe as a child, but not as an adult. So she was, you know, going on about Nigeria. So I thought, okay, let me just come. Let me see how it is. And then when I actually did come, I realized my perception of Nigeria wasn't actually what it was. Right. So that made me just look at other options. And
what was your perception?
You know, like how people in London think of Nigeria. I grew up with a lot of Jamaicans. So.
No surprises there. What?
So, I grew up with a lot of Jamaicans.
If you grew up with Nigerians, you definitely wouldn't be calling me a bad boy, Ibadan.
Okay, can you leave my accent, please? Can you leave my accent? No, but seriously, I grew up with a lot of Jamaicans, so I really didn't have, like, I didn't know much about the culture, right? And my parents weren't, they really weren't that concerned about enforcing Nigerian culture on me and my brothers. So when Lola started going on about it, I thought, okay, let me come out here for a holiday. And then when I did, I was just like, okay, you know, Nigeria's actually different than what I thought. There was a lot more going on. There seemed to be so much opportunity, Nigeria was lit. That year was lit.
Oh yeah, I was
if you remember that year.
I remember.
So in my mind, I was just like, London was just getting to, you know, London's quite stiff.
Yeah.
We're very programmed to go to school, finish school, then go to university, then, you know, go and get a job. And then you kind of climb the job ladder, like corporate ladder or whatever industry you're in. But okay. So you know that Nigeria is quite fast paced, you know, even with the chaos. there's a lot that can be, there's a lot that you can, I don't know, it just kind of makes you a lot more resilient,
yeah,
assertive. Like, I feel like Nigeria keeps you on your toes.
Yeah, I think that's mainly Lagos.
Lagos mainly, yeah. Because most of the time I've been in Lagos.
Yeah, but you're right. I think in the UK, as you said, you know, the system is wired in a way in such that you will, you know what's going to happen tomorrow. So you can't just like have an opportunity. Doesn't
everything
really, like,
is so structured.
Yeah, yeah. You're not going to just go out and meet somebody and maybe they say, okay, I'm looking for this person. You say, oh, okay, well, I have that skill. And then, you know, by Monday, you've got a new job. That's how Nigeria can be sometimes. You can network. But in the UK, it's just like, yeah, tomorrow's tomorrow. You're going to pay your tax. You're going to pay this. You're going to pay that's
and
the end.
In the
and
London,
there's not going to be any like
everything is a
money.
Bill.
Yes,
bill.
Exactly.
Bill. Like everything they want to bill you for. You can't breathe. They want to bill you.
Yeah, no.
You know? So in Nigeria, I feel like you can shape who you are, the direction you're going, the path you want to go to. And of course, there's opportunities. I know there's the struggles of Nigeria as well. I mean, Buhari's economy has been so. But
I mean, when you move back, you move back during, not to go into politics, but you move back during Good Luck Jonathan.
Yeah, just at the
time.
End. Yeah.
And oh, wow, you didn't even get to really enjoy it.
At all. And I actually came on a holiday and like twice, actually. I came for like maybe like 2 months and then I would go back to London and then come back. And the 2 times I came, there was just so much going on.
But
everything seemed to be moving.
Yeah.
And then I think when I came back and Buhari's term started, it's like everything just slowed down and started.
By the way, guys, she's saying Buhari.
Buhari?
What did you just call him? You just call him Buhari.
Buhari.
Is that his name?
I said Buhari.
His name's Buhari.
Oh my God.
It's all right. I don't care anyway.
Buhari. Okay, Buhari. Like Buhari.
But no, I get you.
But yeah, no, it was just, you can see the difference. There was just a change, basically.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Nevertheless, I don't know, London, you know, like there's chicken and there's turkey.
Yeah.
Nigeria's the turkey. London's the chicken.
Ooh.
So you can still love chicken.
Okay, yeah.
But turkey's still premium.
Yeah, it's just sweet. It's got
exactly.
A sweet taste.
And it still comes down to preference because some people still say they like chicken better than turkey.
No, because some people want a jackpot anyway. Like, yeah.
Now, you know, they're just suffering people.
You know, the thing is as well, people are going to look at it like, well, you're privileged in a sense because you've grown up in the UK. You have another passport. You've been able to even experience what life is outside of Nigeria. So therefore, you coming to Nigeria and living here, it's like, okay, well, this is just an option that I have, you know. If I don't like it, I can always jack my back to where I'm coming from.
I mean, that's true.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? So maybe people here listening to this might feel like, what do you mean? Like, which part of Nigeria is this interesting? Or, you know, what's nice about the hustle? This is not hustle. This is suffering, you know? But I think it's also about a perspective sometimes. Mm-hmm. What you see as hustle, someone else might see as, this is stuff I had, you know?
Absolutely.
But that's the thing, because your reality was different. Where you're coming from, we're really sheltered in the sense that even if you don't have a job, you would know the government would be there to provide, to provide funding. Whereas here, if you don't work, that's it, which is the good thing because it makes you want to grind and work hard and make it and be successful in what you want to do. But it's just one of those.
I think that's what it is. I think when people think of, oh, I want to get out of Nigeria and I want to go to London, and sometimes I feel like when people say that, I feel like although Nigeria has its sufferings, but London is not what you think it is. You're not just gonna
paved with gold.
Yeah, you're not just gonna get to London and then start making enough money to pay rent, to pay bills. You know, there's still a process. So there are people in London that are not living as they would like it. I know I can't compare it to, you know, people in, you know, some people that might be suffering in Nigeria, but they're, it's not a straight road, if you get what I'm saying. So I think that's what people don't take note of.
Yeah, I mean, because you could be working as a profession in a professional field here, and you might not be earning that salary, but you could go to the UK and become a cleaner. You could become a security guard at Argos. You could become one of those uncles that used to give parking tickets in Dawson, you know. So you could be, your level in terms of professionalism could have to drop. Mm. So something is always going to have to give. I think that's one of the things that people don't realize when they have to move.
It's an individual thing as well. Yeah, honestly, like,
absolutely.
There's some people that have left here, they've gone to London and they've done really well.
Yeah, for sure.
I guess it's your determination, your direction. Naturally in London anyway, there's discriminations as well. If you're black, if you're a woman, you might face discriminations in certain jobs.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it doesn't mean that you're going to go to London and you can't do things or you won't make it in the way you want to, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay, right. So when you, when Hannah moves here, apart from you and your Ibadan trips, Ibadan trips.
I've only been to Ibadan like twice.
You kind of had this culture shock, right? You're going to list some of them, but one that I know of is the whole respect that Nigerians love, and they're really, really serious about, especially the older generations.
What do you mean, all that kneeling down?
What do you think? Yeah, all that kneeling down, Hannah. Yeah. What do you think about that?
I mean, definitely there was a culture shock. You're such a chief in this. Definitely there was a culture shock. I mean, I'm adapting. I've adapted, actually, because I feel like there's a lot I've had to learn. And I definitely feel it's grown me as a person anyway. But I think the culture shock, you know what? I just don't get it. I'm sorry, I just don't get it. Like, not that you won't. Okay, yeah, I understand. You see someone that's older than you. Yeah. Good evening, sir, ma'am, whatever it is. But to be crawling the floor, I don't
Hannah
know.
Hannah just said, wait, hold on. Hannah just said, kneeling down, like, just say, oh, I can't solve that. That is it.
No, but like, I do do sometimes.
Sometimes. Yeah, because you sometimes can walk in and see an old person, you be your back like this.
No, like, okay, so if it's like a mummy, like, you know, an elderly woman, right? So if I see my grandma, I will hug her from below. Like, I will kneel down. Yeah, like I will bend to hug her, right?
Yeah, because she's tiny anyway.
Yeah, like she's tiny anyway. So, but if it's an adult, like,
what's an adult?
Mid-50s.
Yes.
Like, if it's a matured, so let me not say adult, let me say a matured, to classify it right, mature woman or mature man. Good evening, sir. Good evening, ma'am.
Okay. And I think even your auntie is just the same thing, right?
Hi, auntie, how you doing?
Okay, so do you think that all this respect thing in Nigeria is overrated? Or the culture, respecting the culture is overrated?
See, I don't want to say.
No, you can be honest. Because some people actually do believe that.
There's a lot of things traditionally in Nigeria that I just feel like,
why?
There's a lot of things. But I do understand, you know, you have to respect people around you.
Yeah.
I mean, it should go both ways anyway.
Yeah.
But you do have to respect people around you. But I think some people take the biscuit, to be honest. Like, when I say take the biscuit, I just mean, they just push it a little bit too far.
Okay, yeah.
They almost use the respect thing to oppress people that are younger.
Yeah,
and I'm not talking about when you're in a family setting.
Okay.
Don't get me wrong, people. Not in a family setting or when you're around relatives or your loved ones. I'm talking about maybe in the working environment or maybe if you're meeting somebody in a gathering. You know, people that there's not that closeness to. I think some people use it to, like, I've really seen, not just with age, but with status, right? If you're maybe much wealthier than another person.
Okay, yeah.
I've really seen people try and oppress the life out of people because of that. And it's like, why? Like, and it comes with the culture.
Yeah.
Like, if you have more or if you're of a certain age, it gives you the right to say or talk to a person in a certain way.
Yeah.
It's very, and that's where I'm like, So where do you draw the line?
Yeah. And that's not even, I don't know. Yeah, you could say that is actually become ingrained. It has become a part of the culture. I wouldn't say traditionally that's, I don't think the Nigerian culture is to be disrespectful, but it has become like a sub, a culture in society where people are now just feeling like, okay, well, you know, maybe I pay your salary, or like maybe I'm from an elite family, and then, you know, I expect the whole world to, you know, everybody to know me and bow down every time they see me, you know. Mm-hmm. And when they don't, you know, you get that look, because I know that's happened to you before, where you don't know who the person is, and the person, Hannah literally has looked a queen dead in the eye and been like, okay,
see, hi. Why do I need to bow for a queen? Queen of where?
Yo, are we still recording? No, wait, no, I don't know what to say to that, honestly.
I can greet you.
What are you going to do if you saw Queen Elizabeth? What would you do?
Why would I kneel for Queen Elizabeth? What's my business?
Ah, well, here we are. I mean,
Queen Elizabeth.
So. Yeah, you know, you're supposed to apparently curtsy. Not apparently. You're supposed to curtsy.
Okay, if we went. Yeah, but you know what? Because we're never going to meet. I don't even have to worry about that. I am not concerned about the royal family. Oh, Harry. Harry's the man. But apart from Harry. So you know, everyone likes Harry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, talking about Harry, talking about men.
Oh, Jesus.
Let's talk about some Nigerian men. So was this a culture shock for you, or were you already, you know, definitely ready for the men in Nigeria and what they were about to absolutely unleash on
you? So again, you know, I've already said I grew up in Jamaica, and that includes men as well. I hadn't dated a Nigerian before I got to Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And I can't, I'm not going to generalize. It's not all Nigerian men, but some of you are not balanced at all. Just not balanced. I don't know if it's trauma. I don't know if it's the way society has made you feel like a woman, you know, men can do as they please, whether they can have multiple women. You know, it's just like some men, I'm laughing because it's like, become so accepted,
yeah,
in the way men approach women. Like, in terms of, a man could be with a friend, or when I say a friend, like maybe a girl that he's a female friend that he's interested in. His wife. I had this situation actually, and someone asked me if my friend was if I saw my friend's husband outside, right, like with another woman, would I tell my friend?
Okay, excuse me. So who's this friend? Because I think I'm the only friend of yours that's married.
No.
You said it's happened to you. So it's happening here.
No. No, you. No. Why would you put it to you? It's definitely nothing to do with you.
Better tell me.
No. I would tell you because you're like me.
Yeah.
Right? And
I got mad.
Yeah, like you understand me, but this is with my first job that I had in Nigeria. Mm. This is actually a conversation that I was having with a Nigerian woman. When I say happened to me, I meant it was a conversation, yeah, not that something that I actually saw. So we were debating about something about if I saw, right? Cause something had happened then. She was saying, if I had saw my friend's husband out with another man, right? Would I tell my friend?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, of course, that's my friend. Mm-hmm. I would want her to know, especially if it's something, it depends on the context, right? Mm-hmm. If it seems disrespectful,
yeah,
and one, I would probably approach him and be like, hey, like, especially if we have that familiarity, like,
yeah,
you know, what's going on? Like, you know, yeah, even my male friends, I check them, like, if they're with a babe and I know they're girlfriends, and I'm like, so who's this? Because I just be like, what are you doing? Because it doesn't even matter. Men are men, right?
Yeah.
But, so we were having that conversation. Sorry, I sidetracked. We were having that conversation and she said she would never do that. She said that with her, what has happened to her, that when she's gone to tell the friend has actually got mad at her and it's destroyed their friendship.
Yeah. And you know, a lot of women will say the same thing. Actually, they would actually say, yeah, I wouldn't tell my friend, because you know, the way it is when it comes to matters of the heart, when you get involved in their, whatever it is they have going, their situation, you become public enemy. Well, enemy number one, once they make up. So once he explains, it's going to be like, oh, your friend, you know, she's meddling, or like, well, you know, and then she might start looking at you like, oh yeah, maybe you're jealous. And then that's the end of your friendship.
And that's literally it. So I've now had to really think about things that I would say, right? Mm. And who, depending on who the person is, because it could very much be a situation that it ends up turning on you for whatever reason. When your intentions are good, some people don't always see that.
Yeah.
You know, so you kind of have, so that was a bit of a, that was a bit of a like, whereas in London, it's a straight thing. If your friend doesn't tell you, it's almost like you're ready to fight the friend, because it's like, how would you not tell me?
Yeah.
But Nigeria, women are openly seeing their friends' husbands whining and dining another chick, and they'll just keep silent.
Yeah.
And I think that was a bit of a shock, aside from the men.
Aside from the actual men themselves.
Yeah.
And what have some of these men done to you?
Come on, do you know what? No,
I'm sure there's a long list of shit.
No, I mean, I've had, you know, I've been served breakfast like only once.
Yeah. Oh, you girl.
Because I'm guarded, right? Because right. I see the rubbish from a mile away. So I don't even send it. Before it can even get to me, it's like, stay over there, you know? So yeah, I've had experience once. And I think with that as well, there was so much else, other stuff going on. But it's just more what I've seen around me.
Right.
You know, their approach, you know, just in the way they, you know how it goes with men and money and women in Nigeria, you know.
Yeah, no. Okay, let's get into this actually, because, you know, growing up in the UK and dating men in the UK, I would say a lot of us were shocked moving to Nigeria and
absolutely.
Seeing the way men throw money at women. And even when you come from the UK or somewhere else, if you've dated certain types of men, it's very normal for you to know that, okay, feel like, anyway, if a guy is trying to buy you something, like maybe a car or pay for something, he must definitely want something, like he wants to sleep with you, or he's trying to, like, you know, he definitely wants to sleep with you, but he's trying to be serious, you know, and you have to make sure that you're on the same page. But whereas in Nigeria, someone buying you a car is literally like someone buying you a cup of tea. Like, here, it's just like, oh, yeah.
It's like going Starbucks.
It's just like going Starbucks. It's just like, literally. Oh, yeah, you get a car, you get a Starbucks. No, it's just like, it's the norm. Mm. And would for me, I would say things like that were shocking, you know, because I literally would just think you're trying to probably take me on holiday and probably rape me or something, you know, or do something horrible. But here, it's just very normal for women to have those, or men to throw those type of opportunities at women. Was that shocking to you?
It was definitely shocking, because I think there's one side of it where society is kind of like, in this social media generation, things have kind of moved on. Because I find that it's not just with Nigerian men, you know, you're going to find it with a lot of men in general, that just throw things at girls just because they feel like, just for their ego. But I think, well, no, actually,
it's very prominent amongst Nigerian men. I don't know about any other men.
No, absolutely.
Man.
Like in America, if you go to the US, there's some men that act like that.
Yeah,
they
and they're
have
probably
it.
Nigerian. Think about it.
That's very true. So we've spread our culture wide and far.
Yeah, and you know, a lot of the American women are like, oh, I want me a Nigerian man, you know.
A lot of girls, because it was so funny. Like when growing up, it was not the... It's not, it wasn't cool to
there was
be
nowhere near cool
African
to be
or Nigerian, right? But now it's like girls that I have friends that have come to this country. They have no business here because they're not even Nigerian, right? But they've come, and it's, you know, obviously Nigerians, if it's everyone, but they've come because they've come to love the culture. They've come to love the lifestyle.
They've come to love the men.
And they've come to love the men. And whether that's their bedroom, whether that is their the money, you know, whatever it is, you know, other cultures, they love Nigerian men. But they also know, you've seen the TikTok video where they're talking about the girls got a pot and she's talking about, men, and she's pulling in different things. And then she says Ghanaian men. So everyone's come to know Nigerian men for being deceptive. Very deceptive.
That word is very strong.
Very deceptive. And it's not all men, because I have some genuine guy friends that are, you know, they're real people, love them to death. I see them as family, like, since
when
I've come
here. When you say deceptive, is it really just the fidelity, the infidelity?
I knew someone, right? And she was talking about a guy she was dating. And she said that she was dating this guy for years. like a couple of years. And you know, as women, you know, when you get emotionally invested mm-hmm. into someone, we can always, you know, not look at the red flags,
right?
Like misread the red flags. So there was a lot when they got to break up, there was a lot that she found out, down to the fact that he didn't work where he said he worked.
Wait, what?
And she was like, and she was like, but you know, like, I used to video him at 7 a.m. and he used to be wearing the uniform and she was like, I don't understand.
No, wait, is this...
And let me tell you, it turned out the guy... So I don't know where he went and borrowed uniform or what stuff. He used to drive...
Wait, did he live in Abuja?
No. This is in Lagos. Like, imagine you get to find out that the person you're seeing, he doesn't work where he said he worked.
Yeah.
More than likely, if you don't even know where he works, you probably didn't even know where he lived, right? Oh, I mean, God. Just imagine the levels that some go to. Like,
yeah.
Some, they see their boyfriend's invitation for wedding on Instagram.
Yeah.
You know, these are real stories of people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just like... To go to those lengths deceive mm-hmm. someone, you're deceptive.
No, you know what? Thinking about it, the deception, you're right. That is the correct word to use because it's the lengths at which they go, some of these men, to be so deceptive. And that's why some women are just literally like, you are wicked. You just have to be wicked because how can you know you're getting married next week and you'll be, you know, going out with someone that you claim is your girlfriend getting her to even pick out the shoes that you're going to wear on your wedding day?
When I say... The girl went house shopping for him and his missus. I swear, she went house shopping for him and the new wife.
Without even knowing
that he was getting married and she had dated him for years. Like, literally. Like,
wait, she went house shopping.
House shopping and was picking out stuff for what she thought was his house. But instead, it was the house for him and his new wife.
Yeah.
Now, just really, really, really think about that. If you was a woman, you find out, one, that they're married, but you also find out to what extent he's actually gone to deceive you.
Yeah.
No, when all it takes is just like, look, babe, this ain't gonna work.
Yeah. I don't know why they have such a problem with being honest. I think that's why I think women start to think that you're actually just the devil. You're wicked because why will you string someone along so long and take them into situations like you're going to buy a house, take them house hunting, you know, introduce them to your parents,
introduce to family, and
have them. This is why I say I am not about to be nobody's slave. Like when we're dating, I'm not doing all this housewife stuff. I did not do that. I might have always like been near you in your house, but I was not about to be slaving away like some fool when you had like, you know, honestly, girls on rotation. Like, no, that's a lot of women give themselves up. They give everything to their boyfriends that don't deserve it. They are not deserving of something.
And I think that's where like discernment comes into play.
Yeah.
I think I love to see it now. Like a lot of women, even with their husbands, they're maintaining their independence. Mm. They're becoming bosses. They're doing them, right? Because I think traditionally, women were like always under their husbands, whether it's the husband was the breadwinner, whether it's the case where, you know, the wife would be looking after the home, or even if she's working. I've heard some stuff like she'll come home and give the man her paycheck. Why? What does that mean?
No, but on a serious note, why?
Okay, so if you want to buy drawers, you will now say, husband, I need money to buy drawers. Like, it just, those things don't make sense to me.
Yeah, and what about, okay, so when we're still talking about men, but what about the whole, or should I say, letting the man lead? Because in Nigeria, in general, men are supposed to, you know, be the breadwinners, the leader of the house, even if they're not the breadwinner, right? But in African culture, men are even put on a higher pedestal because it's like they are like the people that wear the crown. They are literally the ones in charge. And you're coming from a place where it's like, even though we're not equals still, mm-hmm. the gap is not as bad as it is in Nigeria. How shocking was that for you trying to adapt to the discrepancies between the way women and men are treated in Nigeria?
Yeah, that was a huge thing because obviously when I came to Nigeria, like I started my business and all of that. And in the working place, like men didn't respect me, you know, they just didn't respect me. Like seriously, like, you know, I would like going into some meetings, I was more sized up sexually than first before it being a conversation about what role I'm going to play or, you know, what are we doing in terms of the job, right? It was always first, okay, is she all right? She got bum, she got breasts. You know, like, not like physically say it, but yeah, you know how men, you know how they will play and they'll approach you like, oh, you know, let's meet in Echo Hotel for dinner.
Yeah.
No, just send me an email.
Yeah, okay, that's lack of professionalism as well. Like, how do you
Yeah, I'm just giving an example, but, yeah, you know, that kind of approach of making it seem so, what did I say? Some of them, just they're charming, but they come across as creeps. And then others, of course, you're going to, if you're going for a job or like you're discussing a contract, you're going to make the effort to show your interest, to show your skills. But I feel like your skill set is almost the last conversation. What is most, you know, what ends up most times happening with most women is that you have to overprove yourself. And the first thing they're doing is going on about, oh, yeah, you know, so how long you been around?
Yeah.
You know, like, you end up, you so off track.
Yeah, the conversation deviates.
Conversation is just so off track from what it should be.
And that's how you end up at the Echo Hotel conversation. They literally be like, oh, so how, oh, where are you from? Oh, your accent. Oh, let's please the accent. Please, please, please.
Because
one of the things that used to really piss me off was like, people be like, ah, your accent. Are you a Nigerian? How can you be a Nigerian?
You know,
like,
I get
are
it.
You sick? Or are you
know,
stupid?
I get that all the time. Even your mom would be like, Hannah, are you sure you're not Jamaican?
Because no,
you
know, no, your mom always said, my mom is coming for you because of your culture, your respect level, not your accent. But this one, people, and then people will be mimicking you and they'll just be like, oh, shui, shui, shui. Oh, this is your English. I like it though. And then they'll be like, you're really Nigerian. So where are you from? And you're like, oh, you're from
here.
And they'll be like, you can't be from here. You're from somewhere else. And it's like,
I don't know why though, because there's a lot of people that have moved back from the, whether America, whether UK, that have moved back to Nigeria. So it's not uncommon now. I think definitely when I moved, a lot of people used to comment on my accent and be like, oh, okay, where are you from? Like, yeah, I'm from London. Okay.
No,
like,
but you know, trying to say where are you from? Like, oh, where did you move from? They literally felt like you weren't Nigerian.
I've had a few people say that, but not based on my accent, more based on maybe,
oh, okay. My look. Look, your appearance. Okay.
Yeah. Maybe my look. I get Ghanaian a lot, okay, but not really based on my accent. But I think with the accent, it's funny and it's sad at the same time because accent kind of works against you and in your favor as well.
Yeah, sure.
You know, when you go to speak to certain people, especially work wise, and they hear that you've got a British accent, it's like, okay, they take more of an interest or they're more, you know, they're more interested to listen to what you have to say, which is not always good, but that's a pro of it,
you had to also adjust. I've got a friend, Nicole, that would never ever move to Nigeria because of this, but you had to adjust to things like not having electricity, like a normal occurrence, something that is just normal in where the part of the world that you're coming from.
This government needs to get that national grid up and running because it's getting too much.
How have you survived? You've been here for like 7 years.
Six years.
So how have you been able to really survive?
I think that the light situation, you know, obviously I told you I came on holidays before I came. And so if you're coming somewhere, you come knowing what the good things that's going to come with it and the bad things.
Yeah.
I knew coming to Nigeria, the inconsistency with electricity was not going to always be, it was not going to be at the standard of what I'm used to in London, right? So it's up to you to make sure that you make where you're staying as comfortable as possible. So there's options to have 24-hour electricity. It's just a shame that you have to pay so much, especially now that diesel's gone up. You have to pay so much to get it.
Because it's like a luxury here.
It's a luxury, and that's the unfortunate thing, is that it's a luxury. It's not a basic. But I think my way to balance is that, listen, when Nigeria starts losing their head, UK, I'm coming for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, you see, and that's the privilege. That is the privilege talking. Yeah,
I know. And it's of course, unfortunately, not everybody has that choice, yeah. Right? But I think...
But would you say like that was... If you didn't have that... If they said, Hannah, if you leave the UK and move to Nigeria, you will not be able to come back in. Do you think you would have still moved?
I wouldn't be able to come back to London.
Yeah.
So where would I go?
No, you could just be a Nigerian citizen.
For what? Where does the passport take you?
Well, I believe you can go to Ghana.
Then I'd rather move to Ghana. If I was restricted, you see, this is the thing. There is a certain privilege that comes with it. So as much as I said earlier, like I came here viewing the benefits of Nigeria and I moved here for the purposes of pursuing those particular things, right? Those were my personal choices because of what I was looking for. But having the flexibility to actually go and come as I please. And it's not even just, forget London, because I have no plans to move back and live in London. As of right now, I have none. Before I even go to London, I'll go to another country. London's dead. Dead. I like absolutely boring as hell, right? I won't go back to London. But
do you know they're about to start finding people if your car's messy?
Yeah, they're just so ridiculous. Like, London is so ridiculous. You drive on the wrong street, they will find you.
Yeah, but that's good.
On the wrong street. You know, like, sometimes you can... Oh, they've blocked like one every way. Street now.
Yeah, but you know, that's one thing about having structure, though. Because, you know, here... But the lack of structure here...
is suffocating.
Yeah, okay. So, maybe there's...
That's what it is, right?
We need to find somewhere that's a balance. Like, Nigeria now, there's no structure. Literally no structure.
Yeah.
And England, the structure is a bit too restrictive.
Exactly.
So you probably need to be somewhere that's like got a balance. Exactly. Canada. But yeah, that also.
So what you were saying about the passport thing, the only reason, the benefits that come with being a UK citizen are worth being a UK citizen.
Yeah.
Because you can go beyond London, you can go different places, right?
Mm.
But with Nigeria, unfortunately, Nigerians, we just don't have it like that. They even block your card online.
Yep.
You on my side, they want to block you. I mean, I was in the US. And I tried to use my card and it was like, they're telling me your card is declined. I said, no, it's not. There's money there. Try again. It says your card is declined. And then I phoned and it was just a random purchase and I didn't have my UK card where I was. So I've used my Nigerian card only to find out they said you can only spend $100. Are you people sick? $100. $100.
Yeah, and this is part of these are part of the things that Nigerians have to deal with. So it's like
understand?
A passport. That's like you living as a pure Nigerian.
Nigerian citizen.
Yeah, because you didn't have your UK card.
I didn't have it.
And most Nigerian citizens don't have another card, or some of them do, but most of them don't. And that is the things that just makes you want to just really lose your mind being Nigerian, because it's just so difficult to do basic things. And the fact that they even strive in this climate is something that should be applauded.
And it's just, that stress of it is just so unnecessary. Like, if we're going to put a restriction, and I understand because of fraud and whatever, but if we're going to put a restriction, maybe there should be some kind of balance, like some checks that you go through, right? I don't know if there is that. Is there any checks? Or they just... Because now I heard... I mean, I read somewhere that it's reduced to $20 now.
$20?
Yeah. Right? It's reduced to $20 now. So you go...
Chuck E. Cheese. Take my daughter Chuck E. Cheese.
So just think about it. Like, somebody who might want to buy something that they're buying in from another country, and they're saying to you, you can only spend $20. And you have the money in your account. I mean, shouldn't there be some checks there so that those that are hardworking Nigerians, they have their money in their account, they're not doing anything fraudulent, they can use their card in peace.
Mm.
You know, whatever verifications they need to do, they put that in place so that people can use their card. $20.
No, that's ridiculous. And something I just remembered. $20. Is also about housing in Nigeria. So,
you know what it is? It's like, there's the things I love about Nigeria that I wouldn't want to give up.
Yeah.
The freedom. You go, you do what you want. You know, in London, Monday to Friday, you work. Friday to Saturday, if you want to enjoy, it's only on Friday and Saturday. If you enjoy it during the week, it messes up your whole week. Mm-hmm. Whereas Monday to Friday, you can go out on Monday, be out on Tuesday, be out on Wednesday. Doesn't mean that you'll be out, but Nigeria is very, Lagos particularly, is very active.
Yeah.
Right? So there's that. But there's just the other things like housing.
Yeah, when you were looking for housing, when you were looking for housing,
it took me so long.
Yeah, I know, because you ended up having to share.
First place, when I first came to Nigeria, right, I remember I was in a shared apartment, mm-hmm. right? So it was a 3-bedroom and two of us were staying there. And then at the point of leaving that place, when I decided, okay, I'm going to get my own place now, because mm-hmm. that first time was like a trial. At that point when I came, I only felt like I might be around for 6 months. I was basically testing Nigeria then. I had just moved back. So I really wasn't sure. I didn't have a job. You know, I was literally just landed with my suitcases. I was like, okay, I'm here. What's next? You know, and I was just trying to figure it out. So that first place I got was a shared apartment, but moving on from that shared, so I had the help of somebody else who understood Nigeria much better than me. So I left it all to her. But looking for when I moved from that place to get my own place, once I had like settled in, Lord of mercy. I saw somewhere they had the shower on top of the toilet. I said, why?
Wait, were you supposed to put your feet?
Why?
Stand on top of the toilet.
Like, literally, the toilet was there, the shower was like here. And it's like, so what do you want me to do? Like, what? Like, really? So it was really, it's just like strange. Like,
and what about even with the tenant, the agreement? Because, you know, a lot of landlords back then, and even still now, they literally were like, if you're a single woman, you cannot rent an apartment. The one time I had to go and get my dad, they still said, no, maybe he's my sugar daddy.
What? Yeah, I think the place that I moved to, I did have to go through a lot of, I had to beg them. I said, please, I will show you everything. These are my bank statements. These are my business accounts. Like, I did everything possible to make sure I got them, because they didn't want me because I said I owned my own business. They actually wanted me to be in an actual job, right? Where they could see that I work for this company.
The reality of Nigeria.
That was so funny, because they didn't even want to understand that I could be earning my own money, because they just assume. So when women have their own business, it's not really a business. Because think about it. I have neighbors. So a lot of the people that live in my place are family.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of families. But then there's also a few single men, right, that have some of the bigger
properties. Yeah, but they don't have issues.
Exactly. They're all business owners as well, right? And they didn't have any issues getting the place, right? But because I said I'm a woman with a business, they kind of just like, okay, yeah. So we really want people that are like, so I had to show everything. I went there every day. You know me, I don't even play. I went there every single day. Like, have you, because it hadn't been finished at the time, right? So I kept going. Has it been finished? Finished, yeah, the building had been finished. They were like, they're like screening people.
Okay.
So I kept going through, you know how Nigeria is. I bribed the guy that was screening. I'm like, not bribed him, but
no,
I was
but you
just
bribed
like,
him. No, what do you mean not bribed him? You bribed him. Everybody knows it's corruption. Yes.
Every little thing. Please, bribe. Let me get this place to blah, blah, blah. Like, I had to go through a lot. And I was like, you can just only imagine, they were ready to dash me out for my last place because the tenancy had finished, but I was just trying to buy time to like, the place was ready. So, you know, all of that. I think I even stayed at yours a couple of days.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think she did.
So, yeah, literally, it was a struggle. And I'm just like, why? Just to get a place.
Yeah, no. And it's your money that you want to pay. It's not free.
It was, you know, it was just...
That's the thing, though. You can have money in Nigeria, right? To do, you want to buy, do something. And they will just stress you to the point that you're like, okay, you know what? I don't even want it anymore because honestly, I'm paying you. This is not free. How am I begging you for this? Or
honestly,
how am I having to, you know, bribe someone for to get something as simple as a passport? Yeah. Because you touched on bribing, you know, having to, you know, tip a little bit.
Yeah, I don't want to say bribery. It makes me seem like a politician. Tip.
Yeah, you have to tip. But even things that are just normal, like, it's just be straightforward. Even in the UK, the Nigerian embassy is a shambles. You go there. I had to, let me just tell you, not even off the record, on the record, I had to pay £300 to get my daughter's passport. Because I couldn't, because the conditions are, they're atrocious.
I heard that.
Going in there with a newborn.
I've heard they got better, because at that time is what I had to do.
It's not better, telling you. I had someone that still went there like last month.
Because I had to get my, I had to get a Nigerian passport as well.
These are the things that are just wrong with the system, or the lack of the system. Even in Nigeria.
That's even in London.
Yeah, sorry, even in the UK, we just still can't get it together. And you have to bribe someone. In the UK embassy, you have to bribe someone, the passport. embassy here, you'd have to just bribe someone to get you a table at somewhere nice in a restaurant.
I'm glad that you'll go and be like, what guy are you with? Who are you with?
Maybe not even bribing, but you have to turn up with a man, you know?
Yeah.
I remember
some places they won't let you in because
there's some popular clubs in Victoria Island. And if you show up there as a young woman on your own, the bouncer's gonna look at you like, stand over there. And then when the man comes in,
Literally.
And they'll be hailing him.
I'm so militant with that though, because I'm just sick of it. So when they'll be like, I'll be like, why? And they'll be like, stand over there. No. My table. Because I just feel like, why? And then men will be passing you and they're like, you need to call the person. I always be like, I can't call anybody. I'm sorry. I just can't call anyone. Like, and sometimes I think a few places, if you approach them with like, you know, just be overly jovial, like, hey, and you know, they can be nice enough to say, okay, don't worry, go in. Especially if you're wearing heels and you're dressed up and unfortunately, you have to look a certain part, right? Yeah, sometimes that can get
you
through. Sometimes
they just literally, like, you're a woman, just please. You know, even sometimes when they come to do things at your house for you, for example, they'll be like, where's our guy? Okay, maybe you should call our guy. When he comes back, I'll come back. And it's like, no.
Even sometimes when it comes to, like, I've been out when, like, I've been with a guy, not anything romantic, just a meeting or whatever, and they brought the bill and they've given the bill to him.
Yeah, because you're broke.
So
you don't make any money.
They've given the bill to him, and he's like, okay, and he shifted the bill to me. I mean, because I was the person that's like, okay, I initiated it. So I'll take you out for lunch so we can talk about this or whatever. And they've just given the bill to him automatically. I mean, that's what I mean with the way men, it's filtered into so many other spaces.
Yeah.
And it all stems from the home.
Yeah, and also a husband and wife. Definitely the culture. You know? The culture. Like the way they raise
and the
boys
culture, like
Nigeria.
Traditionally, you know, so, or the traditions. So, I mean.
Yeah, boys, to be fair, boys have to kneel down as well. I was going to compare it, but they actually do.
Oh, the boys kneeling down?
Yeah. Well, you wouldn't take notice because you barely do it.
I do sometimes.
Hannah, you walk into my house like this. Let me just expose you. Hannah walks into my house like this. Good evening, auntie. Her back is straight like this. So she would now be like, what's wrong with mom? What's wrong with auntie? And I'm like, Hannah, you just walked in like this. Your back is, in fact, if you could kiss her, you would. You'd just be like this. So far away from the floor.
I think your mum is used to me.
Yeah,
right
she
now.
Is. When Hannah says, hello, auntie, she's like, Hannah, how are you, my dear? She's like,
I think because I'm so used to seeing your mom now, I don't know if I every time I have to see it, I have to be kneeling. I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's fine, don't worry, I don't even know, but only for like other people. But yeah,
yeah, like mummies, like mummies,
yeah,
mummies.
See, she's like a mum, Hannah.
Yeah, grannies. Oh, like grannies, elderly.
Like elderly.
Yeah.
All right, well, thank you for coming on the episode. This has been really fun. Did you have fun?
I did.
All right, so should we do Ibadah one more time?
Are you joking?
Okay, so I'm gonna
honestly speaking though,
she's gonna get defensive, guys.
No, I'm not gonna get defensive, but I feel like the way I say Ibadan is the way it should be.
It's Hannah, it's not Ibadan.
Ibadan? Okay, forget Ibadan for a second. Forget about if you give me something else to say, like
okay,
you know
Hannah,
about
before we go, we're gonna give Hannah a couple of words. Yeah. Okay, let's say it's Agbero. What?
Agbero?
You know what Agbero is, right?
Yeah, like a tout, kind of.
Yeah. So you're definitely saying
so
it.
I can understand. Okay, let's just put it like this. My understanding is better than my speaking, but we still will get there.
Okay, so we've got Agbero.
Agbero.
Okay.
Yeah.
We've got, let's say, Yanok Paja.
Huh?
Yanok Paja.
What's that?
Yanok Paja.
Yeah, what is that? A place.
It's a place.
A place. Oh, say it again.
Yanok Paja.
You're not even saying it correctly.
Yanok Paja.
You're not even saying it correctly.
Okay.
Yano Paja.
Okay.
Yano Paja?
Okay, Ikoyi.
Ikoyi, I can say Ikoyi, obviously.
Okay, I'm trying to be nice. Okay, let me see. Oh, Amala. No, Amala. Sorry, mistake. Begiri.
Eh?
Begiri.
Begiri.
Okay.
Yeah, see?
Let's see. Ogbomosho.
Ogbomosho?
I mean, that wasn't that bad, but that Ibadan, you need to work on that, babe.
Ibadan.
It's the dot. Ow!
Ibadan. That's why you're big. That's why you're firing your mic.
The mic was that.
She's firing her mic because of what? Ibadan. You'll be all right.
The Thank you so much for coming on the podcast today. I hope you had fun.
Yeah, I did.
Guys, make sure you subscribe, like, follow us on Instagram at Stephanie Coker. Follow at me, her, and everything else. Pause. Hannah, what's your handle?
Hannah Olatunji _. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, Hannah's actually into marketing.
I am.
And a lot of other things. So yeah, you should hit her up. She's very, very tuned in with all of that stuff, right?
All right.
All right. Thanks, guys. See you in the next episode.
All right.
Bye.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
It's the question that's on everyone's mind. How do you live a good life? Is it about work, health, or relationships? What about happiness, meaning, and money? What really matters? And how can you dramatically improve all of these things? These are the questions we explore every week on the top-ranked podcast, Good Life Project, hosted by award-winning author and perpetual seeker, Jonathan Fields, which also happens to be me. Every week, I sit down with world-renowned researchers, experts, and scions of art and industry on the Good Life Project podcast. This week, in fact, we're sharing a fantastic conversation with the author, Elizabeth Gilbert, about a single practice that changed her life. Listen to the Good Life Project podcast wherever you get your podcasts. Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.